Trying something a little new this morning. One of the reasons is because we believe God's told us to speak from up here. The other reason is I always feel bad for Brian and Jerry because I'm halfway and Rick and Dusty and I, we do the same thing. We stand back there by Terry and Pam and Kim, and these two are just standing, they're just looking up here at a blank screen, and Tammy and so forth. Doing a little something different this morning. Hopefully, we're going to trust God to speak to our hearts this morning. Very specifically. For you. God wants to meet you where you are this morning. And I know that probably you have things swirling in your heart and your mind from this past week, from your past, and coming up this week. Well, God will speak right in the middle of that. And whether or not you understand all of it, it's going to be appropriate when He says it. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, we welcome your very presence with us this morning. It is sweet. It is good. It is kind and it is loving. Your word is precious. Your spirit is precious. We thank you for it this morning, Lord. During this brief time, may you be glorified and may you be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we pick up the story in Acts chapter 4. Last week, Pastor Rick spoke to us about Peter and John praying and healing the lame beggar. They were walking along, a gentleman on the side of the street ask, hey, can you give us some money? Peter and John said, silver nor gold do I have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. And he was healed miraculously. Brother Rick talked about that and spoke about that last week. And so after the fact, Peter and John began to share with the people that were very curious about that miracle. They were very faithful. But just like in the world we live in, when God is up to something, the evil one is also up to something. And that's not a point, but you need to remember that. So write that one down somewhere on your paper today. That when God's up to something, the evil one's going to be up to something too. So Peter and John are called to give an account of what took place with the lame beggar. And so we pick up the story in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the Lord. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That's just the men, not the women and children. 5,000 men, double or triple that. The next day, the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is, from Psalm 118:22, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. A couple of points about this story before we go to the outline. Is let's remember something. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection of any kind. They thought once you died, it was over with. In the dirt, done, deal was sealed, nothing afterwards. Peter and John are brought before them, and all those men that are named there, like Caiaphas and John and Annas and Alexander, these guys and their gang were the ones that also Jesus was brought before. So this same group of people bring in Peter and John to say, tell us how you did this. I can tell you right now, the boys were already worried. They were already scared because something happened outside their control. So we already have a fear factor working. You write that in the sidelines, not a point, just write a sign. Fear was looking for a way to control others. I'm sure none of us in here have ever been fearful and tried to control anybody. So Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, we see how they
handled this situation, how God used them in this situation. You know, one of the great ways to read God's Word, especially when it's a story, is this. Insert yourself in the story. So for just a moment this morning, put yourself in the place of Peter and John. Now, you may not have been brought before the Sanhedrin at all, but have you ever felt the pressure of life when you're in the middle of a conversation? Have you ever felt the pressure of life when you're dreading a conversation? Have you ever felt the pressure of life when you've had that imaginative conversation? All right? So as we look at this, let's insert ourselves into this story and see how God used them as He desires to use us. Point number one. Be blank of the Holy Spirit, God's presence always. I used the boys a couple weeks ago. Today, I'm using the girls. So the girls can get a guess for point number one. Be blank of the Holy Spirit, God's presence always. Give me a guess. Quickly. Give me something. What? Filled? What's your final answer? Filled? We're going with filled. John? Be aware of the Holy Spirit, God's presence always. John got it right? Good job, John. Good job. Awesome. All right. Be aware of the Holy Spirit, God's presence always, regardless of circumstances, regardless of where you might be going, where you've been, or where you're sitting at this moment. God's Holy Spirit is very real and a very real presence in your life. Now, it's easy to say that on Sunday morning, isn't it? But how about Monday morning? How about Thursday afternoon? How about when you see blue lights and you're wondering, did they catch me this time or not? We ask God all the time to fill us afresh. But do you ever stop to ask God, make me aware of your presence. Give me revelation. Show me right now you're with me. God, help me to feel your presence. The Bible never stops at they were filled with the Holy Spirit, period, and nothing happens. When we become aware of the presence of God, God is up to something. When the Bible tells us they are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's always a purpose, an assignment, a call, an event, a divine appointment that's getting ready to happen. And we see it very evident in this story where Peter and John are standing before the men who held their life in balance. At any moment, they could give the thumbs down and they would be gone. That they're standing there and they're facing them, I believe, with a supernatural peace, a supernatural calmness, a supernatural clarity that only comes by the Holy Spirit. Do you need any of those things for this coming week? Do you need some peace? Do you need some clarity? Do you need some fresh revelation? But you need to know if it's God or not God? Because let me tell you something, when we get ourselves worked into a fit, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Confusion is of evil. Clarity is of God. And we see in Acts 2:4 there, along with other disciples, this was not a one-time event. It was something that God just kept on doing. So think about this for a second in your own life. Being aware of God's presence and His moving and working in your life should be a lifestyle. Not, I got to gear up and get going. You know, I shared with you guys one time about as I've gotten older, I've noticed that my range of acceptable temperature to go outside and run is starting to get more and more and more narrow. Okay? Well, I've realized something even more since I told you that story. That not only is the range of temperature becoming more and more and more narrow, that any little ache or pain is a complete reason that there's no need to go outside and run. Okay? I can have an earlobe hurting. And I'm like, I better not go run today. That could be something that could last if I go running. I wish I was lying about that, but that's the truth. Okay? I'm not even making that up. I can concoct some crazy reasons. And we can laugh about my reason, but I want you to know something. The fact is we can come up with a lot of reasons to say we didn't know it was God. That will not fly, especially when we come to point number five. Point number one, though, be aware of the Holy Spirit, God's presence always. Ask Him to do that. Ask Him to make you aware of it. Point two, John. Speak the blank of God no matter the circumstances. All right, girls, what you got? Speak the what? Truth? Let's see what we got, John. Speak the truth of God no matter the circumstances. John, did you have that, by the way? You did? Okay. Michael, you're the only one I trust sitting back there. Did he have it? Okay. Scott, don't throw your... Don't trust me. Yeah, okay. All right. Speak the truth of God no matter the circumstances. Look, look. Okay. Every day, there are people literally that we come in contact with that may know of Jesus, may even desire to follow Him, may even have questions about Him. But I think so often is we're not ready nor willing, but we are able to speak the truth of His love to someone. Are we willing to go with Him to the point where even if the truth were to offend somebody, we're still offending Him with, or her with Jesus? Speak the truth of God no matter the circumstances. Peter and John could have come up with a lot of different things to say that day before the Sanhedrin. They could have tried to weasel out of it some way, but you know what they did? They hit the question headlong. Sanhedrin asked them point blank, how did this happen? Peter and John, well, let me tell you how it happened. You remember Sadducees, the one you don't believe in? And you remember the rest of you religious people, the one that you didn't want around because you couldn't control him? He's the one that did it supernaturally. And you know something that I get away from this, that I take out of this story, that I encourage you to think about is this. They couldn't explain every detail. They just knew there's somebody laying there, and they just now somebody's walking, and that somebody's name was invoked because he said, I'll be with you no matter what, and lo and behold, a man's walking. You don't get to understand everything that you might be sharing, but you know that you've seen it with your eyes, you've experienced it with your ears, you've experienced it with your senses, but most experienced, you've seen the power of God come. Speak the truth. It says in Acts 4, 5 through 7, Peter and John, they brought before the Sanhedrin. It came to pass on the next day that the rulers, their elders, and the scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name had you done this? Need to realize something. The name was associated with the authority, which was associated with the character. So often, listen, I know I struggle with this sometimes too. We need to understand something. When we're not speaking the truth of God to others, we're more worried about our character than His. We're not willing to defend His name. We're more worried about our name. We're more worried about our reputation instead of His reputation. But let me tell you something. Even when we're unfaithful, God's name is still to be exalted, and it will be exalted. So when the scribes, the elders, the rulers, all these religious people said, by what name? In essence, they were asking, by what authority? And everyone in this room knows by now that Jesus said, by all authority in heaven and earth, you will go do great things. And you will go and you will see disciples. You will see the world change. You will see heaven and earth be moved by the power of God. We have to join in this. So speaking the truth of God, no matter the circumstances, the name of Jesus is powerful. His name of Jesus is powerful. So the religious people were calling to account because they knew one thing, that it was more than just Peter and John at work. Powerful time for testimony. Because when God's working through you, people know, wait a second, there's more at work here than just who I see in front of me. What's really going on here? So speak the truth of God, no matter the circumstances. Number three, the Holy Spirit enables us to use our blank, girls. What we got, John? Spiritual gifts. Michael, did John have it right? Okay. Oh, wait, I forgot. Brendan, I trust you too. I'm sorry. Scott, I'm speaking the truth of God no matter the circumstances. I mean, come on. All right, the Holy Spirit enables us to use our spiritual gifts. Look, I'm telling you right now, I don't know all the spiritual gifts that Peter and John had, but I know we can see some things right here. One, they taught. Two, they evangelized. Three, they discerned. Four, they were wise. And you could probably name a few more. So, if the Spirit of God resides in us, then we don't really have the right to try to turn off the spiritual gifts in our lives to not be used. That switch is always in the on position. Are we allowing the power to flow through us? Listen to me very carefully about this, okay? All of us that are followers of Christ have spiritual gifts. It's not a question. And you might say today, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, that's why Mr. John Bonfacio at our church website, thesycamorechurch.com, is it still on the homepage, John, about the link? You can hit a link and you can take a spiritual gift test. And John has even done so much work that it involves math, but he put the version on there where it actually adds it for you. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to call Becky to help you with the math, okay? You can just fill it out and see it. So my question for you is, I want this one to really grab you for a second, is this. The Holy Spirit enables us to use our spiritual gifts. My question for you is, do you not know or do you not care? Do you not know or do you not care? Because not caring, that's an us problem. And not taking the time to not know, that's on us. And if you can't take a test, then get somebody around you and say, hey, you know me pretty well. What spiritual gifts do you think I have? See what they have to say. Ask somebody else to confirm that. If you take a spiritual gift test, you're like, I don't know what in the world I'm supposed to do with this spiritual gift or gifts. I just know I've got them. Then ask some people to get around you and say, what? How do you see me using this? How can I use this where I go? How can I use this at work and play and wherever I hang out? The Holy Spirit enables us to use our spiritual gifts that you have. You own them because He's invested in you. He's planted them. Be a good steward of them. Be a good steward. Number four. Peter and John reminded them, the religious people, of their past, but shared the blank of a great future. Girls? Come on, girls. John? Possibility. What we got back there? All right. Peter and John did all those first three points, but I want you to realize something, that the people that wanted to see them dead, they still were faithful to share the gospel. So those who you might think are your enemies are really opportunities. But Peter and John reminded them, look guys, you tried to kill this Jesus, but He was resurrected. You tried to kill the gospel, but it's flaming because you can't stop it. See those 5,000 men and all their women and children and all those other people? You're not going to be able to stop it. So what I'm doing to the religious people, Peter and John could say, is I'm inviting you to get on the party, because if you don't get with us, we're going to run over you. Because either you're with us or you're against us, and the gospel is going to keep going and going, and it will run over you. So the Holy Spirit enables us to use our spiritual gifts to help Peter and John, to remind them of their past, because they could have a great future. So you ask yourself this morning, when you're out in the world, and we take, you know, how often do we make snap judgments? And most of us have lived long enough that we've made some snap judgments that after we got to know people, they just weren't true. Okay? Now that could go both ways. You maybe thought some people were the greatest people on the earth, and then you got to know them a little bit and you thought they were Satan in the flesh. I can go both ways. I got some of those myself. Not here. Maybe. Okay? But we do this, you and I do this, because of what He did for us and what He did to us. I don't know exactly what happened to all those guys that Peter and John spoke with. Don't really know all the details of every one of those guys. Some of them it didn't end well for, by the way. But think about your life. Again, insert your actual person into this story. Put your name in there and say, who is God using you to remind that Jesus has died so their past could be wiped away and their future could be very bright, beginning in the now. Beginning in the now. It says in Acts 4, 8-12, Peter boldly preaches to the Jewish leaders. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has made well, let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead,
By him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter preaches Jesus. He preaches the one true Savior. And you know something, guys? I know I say this probably every time I speak to y'all, that I think somehow we live under some great illusion that they had it easier back then because, hey, it was a much smaller world. They didn't have to deal with all the social media garbage and all that. But you know, if you really stop to think about it, there was as much upheaval politically and socially as there's ever been. So when Peter and John says to them, the Jesus that you tried to crucify, did you know they lived in a very eclectic society? There were a lot of gods. Rome had imported so many gods that later on Paul goes to Mars Hill and says, look, you got a lot of gods around here, but let me tell you about the one true God. So when we go from this place and we remind people of the possibility of their future, what we're really saying is, let me tell you about the one true one. Let me tell you about how much He loves you. Let me tell you the truth about Him. And let me tell you how He's affected my life. So they lived in a society, a time, that really wasn't much different than ours. But they had to stay faithful no matter what. Peter doesn't just merely proclaim Jesus as the way of salvation, but he tells those religious people He's the only way. I ask you to think about this for a second. Do you live your life as He's the only way? How or what kind of filters do you have on your heart, on your mind? What are you allowing to impact you instead of impacting out? Sometimes you just got to be honest with yourself. Sometimes we don't get to live in a cocoon where we get to avoid the impact of the world we live in. But we have to ask ourselves, are we impacting it back? And how are we impacting it back? And number five, God will hold us, girls, like she said, accountable. Accountable. Very good, Lexi. Very good. John, do we have any? Yes? Okay. Good job, John. John, I think you enjoyed this a little too much. Next time I preach, I think I'm going to have you up here with me. Wow. Well, probably not. One of the things about this story that really stood out to me as I was reading it over and over and over this week is this. The Sadducees and the religious people said, you give me an account. I want to hold you accountable. But remember I told you to insert yourself in this story? Did you know one day all of us will get to stand before God the Father and He's going to look at us and He's going to say, so what'd you do with what I gave you? And so far, I've come up with a long list of excuses that I realize will not stand up. It will not stand up. God will hold us accountable one day. He will ask what we did with what we were given. And so often I think in life that we are not mindful of that. That we believe that if no one saw us, no one heard us, that we got away with something. Or if we didn't do something, then somebody else will step up in my place. God will probably use somebody else. But the blessings that we are missing by allowing God to use us, but God will hold us accountable. The tone of Peter's reply, especially when he says, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, show something. He was not intimidated and he was willing to be accountable for his godly actions. He was willing to pay the price. Remember something in this story? There was no guarantee that that wouldn't be their last day on earth. No guarantee. But Peter put it to them directly, I believe very firmly, but I believe in a way that only God can do when we're allowing Him to use us is with truth and love. And so God will hold us accountable. So let's start today by saying, God, all the things that You've placed in my life, how can I use them for You? How can I use them for Your kingdom? God, how can You use me to impact this world? I was talking to a guy this week, and I was telling him, I used to work with him in St. Joseph's, and he was asking me about my trip to Zambia last year, and the thing he wanted to know was about the water. And I said, clean water in every third world country is important. And he said, if I knew that the money I gave to a group was going to get wells and clean water, I'm all in.
He said, but I'm not interested in just giving money to somebody just to go to another country just to see kind of what they can do. Just maybe they'll use it wiser, maybe they won't. I had an opportunity to explain to him how over there in Zambia, when they get the clean water at the wells that have been supported and given, it's a gathering point. It's a gathering place. And that as the, most of the time it's the ladies, sometimes it's the men, but an area, place, a time where people can actually share life together. But in essence, you know what he was doing to me? Here's what he was doing to me. If you want money from me again, show me why I should give it to you. Tell me why I should support it. Is it a sightseeing tour? Or is there a gospel impact tour? God will hold us accountable. He's serious about this. This coming week, you and I will probably have some things in our hearts about God we need. God we desire. Ask yourself this question. Do those needs and desires or those wants line up with what God is providing? Because I would be willing to tell you that God is providing all that we need. But if we can become the stewards that He desires for us to be of all that He's given us, then we can see it multiplied. You know, a lot of us in here, I know this is probably going to sound stupid to some of you, okay? I understand that, okay? Someone said it to me this week, so I just like to share the wealth, okay? There's a lot of us in here. The reality is this. Unless we set a record in years lived, there's a lot of us that have more days behind us than we do in front of us. Okay? All right? And when you look back, if today was it, would you tell stories about what you accumulated or the people that you met along the way and you impacted? Because those are the stories I want to know. Because that took an investment that saw the future. Do you understand what I'm telling you? That your investment today is always a future investment. Always. So you think about that in life. You think about these points. Ask God to make you aware. Speak the truth of God no matter what. Allow God to show you and use the spiritual gifts. His divine design is another way that in a church we say that. His divine design, how He wants to use you. Peter and John reminded them of something that was so great that it was hard to explain in earthly terms. But God will hold us accountable. But He holds us accountable out of love. Not because He's the killjoy, but because He cares so much. And He's left it to us. He's entrusted it to us, hasn't He? So today, insert yourself in this story and say, God, I know that my story may not be like Peter and John's exactly, but where I go and what I do, I might be put before people and I need you to take over. I need you to take over. Just a moment, Mike, you can come back up. Our altar will be open. I want to ask you to think about something this morning. As Mike comes up, you want the rest of the guys or just you, Mike? And Mike done a good job this morning. Thank you. It was kind of a last minute step in, sort of, kind of. He found out late in the week, so appreciate your faithfulness, Mike. What can you share with Dusty and Rick and I this week that's a praise, a thanksgiving, or heavy on your heart? You know, we gather these cards and those envelopes at the end. Some of you are awesome faithful about putting stuff on there. In fact, some of you are short story writers. That's cool. That's cool. My only request is write legibly. That's all I, you know, because we'll guess and maybe change the words. But what do you have to praise God for? What do you have to thank Him for? And what is your request that you want to put before the throne of God that Dusty and Rick and I? You know, I think there's a lot of you in here that will agree with this statement. It's a privilege to have somebody else praying for you. It's a privilege to have somebody else praying for you. Because I guarantee you something. All of us in this room could probably name somebody that needs prayer, but they won't ask for it. So, if you need prayer, ask for it. But also be willing to thank God and to praise Him for the smallest to the biggest. So we're going to take those up at the end. The altar will be open. Dusty will be down here. Kathy and I will be up here. I'm going to just pray for us. And you can get somebody. Pray with them. Pray for them. But I'm asking you to take advantage of the card. So let's pray. Father, thank you today for moving in our life. And God, I think a good Holy Spirit stirring is a blessing. While you're a consistent God, you're also a God who's who is always growing and planting and fertilizing and watering. And you're harvesting, and I praise you for that. So Lord, whatever you're stirring in our hearts and our minds today, we just put that before you and ask that you would help us to trust you with it as you're entrusting us with things. So we give you this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. You can go ahead if you want to. You can go ahead and be bringing your cards and envelopes. You don't have to wait. Come for prayer. Bring your cards and envelopes as Mike and Davo play a little music for us as you guys get ready to leave. You know, it's not like Dusty and Rick and some of us just sprint out of here, okay? I mean, hey, Kerry Hilliers ain't that good. So you don't have to come forward all the time and pray. We're around to pray with you even after we're done saying amen. So we're available, okay? So let's pray. Father, may all glory and honor be ascribed to you. And dear God, I would pray today. I want to ask something very specific, and that is this. We've heard you. We've experienced you. Lord, I'm praying later on in the day, no matter where we are, what we're doing, you would surprise us. Lord, remind us of something that we need to be reminded of today, not tomorrow, today. And God, I don't know, that's a long list of possibilities, but I'm praying that we'll acknowledge it of you, Father. And so, Lord, guide and direct us as we leave this building. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys.